hoping to flank the shooter. But in the dark, he had stumbled over a tree or something, hit his head on a rock, and blacked out for a while. Otherwise, he surely would have had the bastard. In support of his story, he pointed to a fading bruise, at least 3 days old, and probably incurred in a drunken stumble, and his left temple. Uh-huh, Ginelli thought, and turned to another page in his notebook. Enough of the hocus-pocus. It was time to get down to business. Thank you very much, Mr. Heilig. You've been a great help. Telling the tale seemed to have mollified the man. Well, that's okay. I'm sorry I jumped on you like that. But if you were us... He shrugged. Cops, his wife said from behind him. She was looking out the door of the camper like a very old, very tired badger, looking out of her hole to see how many dogs are around and how vicious they look. Always cops wherever we go. That's usual. But this is worse. People are scared. Enkelt, mama, Heilig said, but more gently now. I've got to talk to two more people if you can direct me, he said, and looked at a blank page in his notebook. Mr. Tadus Lemke and a Mrs. Angelina Lemke. Tadus is asleep in there, Heilig said, and pointed at the unicorn camper. Ginelli found this to be excellent news indeed, if it was true. He's very old, and all of this has tired him out real bad. I think Gina's in her camper over there. She ain't a missus, though. He pointed a dirty finger at a small green Toyota with a neat wooden cap on the back. Thank you very much. He closed the notebook and tucked it into his back pocket. Heilig retreated to his camper, and his bottle, presumably, looking relieved. Ginelli walked across the inner circle again in the growing gloom, this time to the girl's camper. His heart, he told Billy, was beating high and hard and fast. He drew a deep breath and knocked on the door. There was no immediate answer. He was raising his hand to knock again when it was opened. William had said she was lovely, but he was not prepared for the depth of her loveliness. The dark, direct eyes with corneas so white they were faintly bluish, the clean olive skin that glowed faintly pink deep down. He looked for a moment at her hands and saw that they were strong and corded. There was no polish on the nails, which were clean but clipped as bluntly close as the fingernails of a farmer. In one of those hands she held a book called Statistical Sociology. Yes? Special Agent Ellis Stoner, Miss Lemke, he said, and immediately that clear, lucent quality left her eyes. It was as if a shutter had fallen over them. FBI. Yes, she repeated, but with no more life than a telephone answering machine. We're investigating the shooting incident that took place here last night. You and half the world, she said. Well, investigate away. But if I don't get my correspondence course lessons in the mail by tomorrow morning, I'm going to get grades taken off for lateness. So, if you'll excuse me... We've reason to believe that a man named William Halleck may have been behind it, Ginelli said. Does that name mean anything to you? Of course it did. For a moment, her eyes opened wide and simply blazed. Ginelli had thought her lovely almost beyond believing. He still did. But he now also believed this girl really could have been the one who killed Frank Spurton.
That pig, she spat. Han sate sig pa en av stornarna. Han sneglade pa njet mot hilnja I vild, vild.
I have a number of pictures of a man we believe to be Halleck, Ginelli said mildly. They were taken in Bar Harbor by an agent using a telephoto lens.
Of course it's Halleck, she said. That pig killed my Tante Nied, my grandmother. But he won't bother us long. He...
She bit her full lower lip, bit it hard, and stopped the words. If Ginelli had been the man he was claiming to be, she would already have assured herself of an extremely deep and detailed interrogation. Ginelli, however, affected not to notice. In one of the photographs, money appears to be passing between the two men. If one of the men is Halleck, then the other one is probably the shooter who visited your camp last night. I'd like you and your grandfather to identify Halleck positively, if you can.
He's my great-grandfather, she said absently. I think he's asleep. My brother is with him. I hate to wake him.
She paused.
I hate to upset him with this. The last few days have been dreadfully hard on him.
Well, suppose we do this, Ginelli said. You look through the photos, and if you can positively identify the man as Halleck, we won't need to bother the elder Mr. Lemke.
That would be fine. If you catch this Halleck pig, you will arrest him?
Oh, yes. I have a federal John Doe warrant with me. That convinced her. As she swung out of the camper with a swirl of skirt and a heartbreaking flash of tanned leg, she said something that chilled Ginelli's heart.
There won't be much of him to arrest, I don't think.
They walked past the cops, still sifting dirt in the deepening gloom. They passed several gypsies, including the two brothers, now dressed for bed in identical pairs of camouflage pajamas. Gina nodded at several of them, and they nodded back, but steered clear. The tall, Italian-looking man with Gina was FBI, and it was best not to meddle into such business. They passed out of the circle and walked up the hill toward Ginelli's car, and the evening shadows swallowed them.
It was just as easy as pie, William, Ginelli said. Third night in a row, and it was still as easy as pie.
Why not? The place was crawling with cops. Was the guy who shot them up just going to come back and do something else while the cops were there? They didn't think so. But they were stupid, William. I expected it of the rest of them, but not of the old man. You don't spend your whole life learning how to hate and distrust the cops, and then just suddenly decide they're going to protect you from whoever has been biting on your ass. But the old man was sleeping. He's worn out. That's good. We may just take him, William. We may just.
They walked back to the Buick. Ginelli opened the driver's side door while the girl stood there. And as he leaned in, taking the .38 out of the shoulder holster with one hand and pushing the wire lid holder off the ball jar with the other, he felt the girl's mood abruptly change from bitter exultation to one of sudden wariness. Ginelli himself was pumped up. His emotions and intuitions turned outward and tuned to an almost exquisite degree. He seemed to sense her first awareness of the crickets, the surrounding darkness, the ease with which she had been split off from the others by a man she had never